before we get into it, we'll start off with a word of prayer.
I'll pray.
Okay, Lisa, you pray for us today.
Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you again for your day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you again for just your love of your love towards us, Lord, that we may be able to reap and sow the benefits of your love, and ask that you just please allow it to give it to others, Lord, and just show the light that you have given us, Lord. I ask, thank you again for your word, Lord. Reading in James last night, Lord, that if anybody lacks wisdom, Lord, they say they just ask and it shall be given, Lord. And also when somebody falls in the brethren, we bring them to the elders, Lord, which we've just done today, Lord. We just thank you and glorify you. Thank you again for today's service, Lord, that you ask you just please bless us, Lord.
Yes.
Allow it to either sink in and apply and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and that psalm, that's a great psalm. And you know, Rich talked about the beginning of that psalm being pretty negative sounding and hard to deal with. But you know, when I looked at it, I didn't really see it that much as being negative in one sense of the word. Because we all have our times when we're kind of down, you know, we're not up to snuff, so to speak, you know. But we all come back to the realization that we know who God is and what he does, you know. And, you know, that verse 13 in Psalm 103, I love that verse. It says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time of time to favor her, and yea, the set time is come."
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great scripture.
It's powerful.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been my experience that in God, I've come to realize that there's certain times when he does things. And he's an on-time God, like we talked about. You know, we've sang that song many, many times. But he really is an on-time God, you know. And his timing is always perfect. But he does have set times when things are to be brought forth or to be accomplished. And, you know, sometimes we can hasten that time by yielding to his spirit more, you know what I mean? Or we can hinder it sometimes by trying to draw back and not doing what God tells us to do. But, I was thinking about Jeremiah, and I was thinking about, you know, when apparently Jeremiah was pretty young when the Lord called him to be a prophet unto the nations, you know, and he told him that before he was formed in his mother's womb that he called him to be a prophet, you know. And one of the first things that he said to him, you know, Jeremiah said, "Lord, I'm but a child. How can I go and talk to people?" You know, so. And I think sometimes when you feel inadequate in whatever you feel like God's wanting you to do, you're in the right place. Because you should feel inadequate. Because what happens with the Lord between you and him doesn't depend on your adequacy. It depends on his adequacy. And he's more than adequate for anything that he directs you to do. And, you know, I like what he said to Jeremiah back there. He told him not to look at their faces, you know. And so many times when God gives you a word or begins to move you up into something, we have a tendency that at times we'll seek counsel from other people, or we'll talk to other people, or this or that. And a lot of times we'll find out that when we do that, maybe they're not always real positive about what the Lord's speaking to you to do, you know. And you have to kind of get to the point where you kind of don't really depend on other people as far as the direction that God wants to take you. You depend only upon him, you know. And not that there isn't safety in the multitude of counselors, because there is. But, you know, so many times we have to be careful not to look at the faces of people. I know when I first started speaking, sometimes I would get up and, you know, if you looked out at the crowd, boy, you might as well just sit down. You might as well just forget it. Because somebody's sitting there going, you know, or something. You know,
or it's completely
shut. They are sleeping. Yeah, they're thinking about, boy, when I get home, I got to do this or I got to do that or something's happening. And their mind's not really stayed upon the Lord, you know, at times. And buddy, if you pay attention to their faces, you're going to be in trouble. But you just have to move with God and not pay attention to those things, you know. But you know what I did here is I took this scripture and I broke it down, and I did a word study on each one of these key words in here. And you know, if you will, we'll go down through it. And on the first part of that, it says, "Thou shall arise." And see, like, that word "thou shall" is not really in the scripture, you know, but it's a phrase. You know, what the word that's in Strong's is "arise," you know, mm-hmm. but it's a phrase. They made it into a phrase, "thou shalt arise," you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at the word "arise" there, it's 211 times it's in the scripture. And, you know, 47 times it's the word "arise." 27 times it's the word "establish." And 27 times it's the word "stand." And "perform" is 25 times. "Confirm" 9 times. "Confirm" again, I like that, you know, because sometimes you can put these words together. Because you know what? We need to be confirmed again and again and again and again. You know, the 5 times. And to again set, you know, God sets you in positions, you know, and that's 5 times, and 5 is a number for grace. And to establish, you know, you can do everything you want to try to establish yourself in the Lord, but you know who has to establish you? It has to be Him. And try as hard as you will, you won't succeed if He's not the one doing the establishing. And then, you know, surely, and then continue. Ensure, abide, and accomplish, and that's what that word "arise" was translated at in other portions of Scripture, you know.
And it could be Greek or Hebrew.
It was Hebrew. This is Hebrew because it's the Old Testament. Yeah, it's all Old Testament.
All Hebrew.
Yeah, so you can see a lot of times that's why you almost need to study to show yourself approved, because as each word there, you see it has all these different meanings. That one word has all these different meanings in different portions of Scripture. And that's why a lot of times we need to even pray about what the Lord's speaking to us out of a certain Scripture, you know.
Well, that word "surely," I just looked that up recently, and I can't remember if it was the Greek or the Hebrew, but that word "surely" also meant a surety or a guarantor. And when it says "thou shalt arise," it's really talking about the Lord Jesus Christ is arising.
That's
he
right.
is the surety, the guarantor, and
right.
the set time is now. I mean, of course, God was saying, you know, Jesus arising the Calvary.
And you know, when he's talking about it, he's talking about that he's going to arise and have mercy, you know. And, you know, I was thinking about what David said in the 23rd Psalm when he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
You know? Can anything else follow you?
I mean, my goodness, if you've got mercy following you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the greatest thing in the world that can follow you, the mercy of God. And it does follow you because of his grace and because what he accomplished on Calvary, you know. And that word for mercy is a primitive root, and here's what it means: to fondle. And you know, when you fondle somebody, you're loving on them, you're pressing them, and you're just hugging on them, and you know, I love that because, you know, with his mercy fondles you, it loves you, it caresses on you. By implication, love, especially to be compassionate, to have compassion on or upon, love, find, obtain, and show mercy, to be merciful, on or upon, to have pity, and surely, again, there's the word "surely" again, see, and you know, that's good, because surely his mercy is always going to be there with you, no matter what, you know, but I love that, and you know, so many times, the scripture says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they," in the New Testament, "for they shall obtain mercy," you know, and that's in the Beatitudes. And, you know, we need to ask God to help us be a merciful people in all of our dealings with other people. And it's hard sometimes. It's not easy at times, you know. But Did you have something to say?
No, it's so true. I mean, you try to be the person and say, okay, Lord, you've given me this day, and you already know who I'm going to be speaking to today,
right.
So please give me grace.
Right.
Because I, you know, people cussing at you and yelling at you, and
right.
It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you know, help me to show love.
And you know, one of the nice things about when people are acting up around you, it says a soft answer turns away wrath. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. if you answer people with a soft voice and a nice way, all of a sudden, they'll start backing off because they realize, you know, God has a tendency, he lets them know that they're overstepping their bounds, they're going in the wrong direction.
Most times I usually can get them turned around and say, thank you very much for your patience and
yeah.
explaining it to me. I'm sorry for the,
and
have a great day.
And you know, and you know this because you work for the government in a sense.
Yeah.
Anytime you deal with the government, it's frustrating because
well,
they have so many rules, regulations,
yeah.
and things. And it's, you know, I bet the tax code book would probably go from the floor to the ceiling.
It does.
You know,
there's like five or seven of them.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. You know, because man, anytime he makes laws and things, he's gonna way overdo it. You know what I mean? But you know, and you can understand probably the frustration that people have, but it makes you feel bad because you're the one that has to deal with it, you
right.
know, on that daily basis, you know. you know, I found out when I used to work at this other job I had, I was a supervisor, and I had a guy who worked for me, and I come in one day, and he was just in a grumpy, grumpy mood, man. And, you know, he was kind of going on, and I asked him to do something, and he kind of was a little short with me, you know, and he kind of got pretty grumpy, and I thought, well, you know, I'll let that go, and I would only let it go to a certain extent, because you can't let it go real far, you know. So anyway, I walked away, and I said, I kind of prayed for him. I said, Lord, you know, deal with Chuck, whatever's wrong with him today, you know. And a few minutes later, he called me over, and he apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I was fussing with my wife and this. And he said, when I come in here, he says, you know, I shouldn't have said to you what I said and all this and that. And I said, well, Chuck, I said, I appreciate you saying that. I said, I will let you know. I said, if you went very much farther, I would have called you down. I said, because, you know, I would only let you go so far in that.
Right.
You know, but, you know, even in that, a lot of times, showing, you know, mercy to people, you just, you know, we've all been there. We've all got up on supposedly the wrong side of the bed once in a while. Boy, you get the grump on, and it's hard to get it off sometimes, you know. But usually after a while, you come to the realization of, man, I'm being really grumpy today, you know. And, you know, my mom used to, she used to take these allergy pills, and it was called Comtrex, you know. And, you know, not trying to give a commercial for Comtrex, but I tried a couple of those. She said, won't you try these? They you know, I get allergies in the springtime usually, and in the fall. And I took a couple of them, and man, them things make me meaner than a snake. I don't know what was in them things, but I mean, I was grumpy. I mean, yeah, it was actually that medicine, and I realized it, and I thought, man, I can't take these things because they're making me grumpy and meaner than a snake, you know. So I quit taking them. I only took them a couple of times. But it did drive my head, but boy, they also made me mean, you know, and I'd say mean stuff and stuff, and I thought, geez. But sometimes you don't even know why you're saying stuff that you say, you know what I mean? But if we'll show mercy and love and compassion, you know, my goodness, it'll that's what the world needs out there. They need the mercy of God revealed to them on a daily basis. And if you look at the words up above that Raham, that's the actual word for mercy. That's the Hebrew word. And that word up here for arise is kum. It's a K-U-M, a Q-U-M, but it's pronounced K-O-O-M, you know. So, you know, so I've actually put the words, the actual Hebrew word in there, you know, and this is the definition in the Strong's. And, you know, when it says, thou shalt arise and have mercy, it says upon Zion. And the word for Zion there is pronounced Sion. It's S-E-E-Y-O-N-E. You know, that's the way it's actually pronounced. And
spell it again, C-E-E?
Yeah, it's actually on there.
Yeah,
if you look
at it.
It's Y. It's got a Y, a T in front of it, but the T is silent.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It,
okay.
You know, I can.
I thought you said C. I'm like, is that a different word?
It's actually Sion.
Sion.
Sion. Yeah. And that's the word for Zion. And there's other words for Zion, but this in this particular scripture, this is the word. You know, and it literally in the Strong's it gave a New Testament translation of that word, and this one here is. Waymark, sign, title. That's what that actually means. Waymark, sign, or a title. And you know, when he says, thou shall arise and have mercy, and he's going to have it with a waymark. He's going to show us the way. We know who the way was. It was Jesus. And he is the waymark. He's the sign. He's the one that we have to follow, you know. And, you know, When you realize that when he's talking about, and like I told you all a while back, anytime that you read scriptures, this scripture is really talking about you.
I thought you said something about us people.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does. But what I'm saying there is that you, as he is in this world, so are we. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Mm-hmm. So everything that he was, we are now, or we're becoming, see? Do you understand that?
Yes.
So he is the original Zion. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, in Daniel, where it talks about that he saw a rock cut out of the hill without hands, and it rolled down and it hit that figure in the feet, you know, because it was the figure of Babylon, you know, in Daniel. And, you know, that original rock was Jesus Christ. But you're also a rock. You're also a part of him. You're the body of Christ. So you are Zion also, see? And it says, and thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. It says, for the time to favor her and the set time has come. And what it says there, for the time, the word for time down there is et. It's E-T. It's got a long E, so it's got the A sound to it. Et is what the way you pronounce it. And it's translated as time 257 times. And it's translated season 16 times. And it's translated when 7 times and always 4 times. And root ever 41 times. And everlasting 2 times, end of eternity 1 time, evermore 1 time, old 1 time, and perpetually 1 time, you know. So when he's talking about time there, he's saying, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time, for there's a season, you know. And Solomon said, for every time, for everything there's a season. And for everything, there's a time, basically. And he basically said, there's a time to be sad, and there's a time to rejoice, and there's a time for this, and there's a time for that. And see, when we realize that we're in a time element with God, in the sense that when we come to the right time, there's times when God's going to get you in a position to where he's going to fulfill each thing in your life that he's called you to do, you know. But if you look in the Old Testament, a lot of times you'll see a lot of scriptures that'll say, and at the appointed time, see, there was an appointed time, you know. And but a lot of times the appointed time is when you come to the knowledge of the revelation of what God's doing in your life. And because today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice, you know, you can begin to move more into the appointed times that God has for you. And, you know, the next word there is the word, and anytime you guys want to say anything, just jump right in there. The next word there is favor. And so thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Okay? For the time to favor her. And that's Hanan. That's H-A-N-A-N. And that's the word favor, see? And it's a primitive root. And they're comparing it to this other word, Kahanan, I guess it's how you pronounce it. Properly to blend, to stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favor, to bestow, to cause, to employ, to move to favor by petition, to beseech, fair, to be kind, and to show favor or favorable, to be or to deal, to give or to grant gracious or graciously, to entreat, to be merciful, to have to show mercy upon, have pity upon, pray and make supplication, and plus vary, you know. And the root word for that is, I like this down here, the root word for favor is to pitch, to encamp. And you know God encamps you? Do you know it says to as many as received him, to them gave he power to come or to become the sons of God, to come into being. And it tells you that concerning the word of God, that the word of God, he dwelt among us. And that word for dwelt back in the Gospel of John, you know, at the beginning, says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, saying, in the beginning with God. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word for dwelt there is he tabernacled. Pitched his tent. And you know, the neat thing about it is a tent is a temporary thing. You know, it's a movable thing. Well, he pitched it because Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He had to be, it was a temporary thing because he was going to be the beginning of the temple of God. Know ye not that your temple is a permanent thing. You know, and his presence was going to indwell you permanently, you know. And there is a scripture in Revelations where it says, talks about, and the tabernacle of God is with men, you know. And the very presence of God dwells inside of us. And because he was the firstborn, he was the beginning, he tabernacled amongst us. But then, instead of just being like it says in the Old Testament, where it said God with us, you know, now it's God in us, you know, became even a greater revelation and a greater enhancement of what God was doing.
Abiding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an abiding thing, yeah, a permanent thing, you know. Because they used to have to take that tent down and move it whenever they moved.
Is that every year?
Oh, anytime they moved.
Oh, period. Gotcha.
Yeah. See, the tabernacle in the wilderness was just a tent.
Oh, gotcha.
But they took that thing down every time that they moved. Whenever the cloud moved or the pillar of fire moved, it was time to take up the stakes and pack up everything and start moving along with it, see? But yet, the neat thing about it is now, is the presence of God no longer moves away. It's permanently in you because you're the temple of God, you know? And we're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And I realize I don't have all this in notes today because I just didn't have time to put all this stuff down. So I'm just kind of telling you as we go. But, you know, but when he favors you, I love that. And that root word means to pitch, to encamp, to camp, to pitch. It means tent. It means to abide, to dwell, to lie. It means rested. It means to grow to an end. And I like that, grow to an end. You know what? We're growing to an end. And you know what that end is? Everything's going to find its completion in Christ. Everything's going to find its consummation in Christ. And boy, I tell you what, we're living in a day where I think we're getting closer and closer to that full revelation breaking forth.
I think the set time is now. Really.
Well,
you read that verse.
Yeah.
That really, really ministers to me. The Lord's been taught me a great deal about time, but there we go.
Yeah, And see, when you realize, it's up there again, let's read that back over that scripture. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, mm-hmm. for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come, a different word, not the same
right,
word.
Because we just passed the season, has just yeah. come, and now it's time.
Yeah, and the set time is actually yeah. a different word than
it's
that
the
first
same
time.
Sense.
See, and that if you go down here to set time, it's the word moed. It's M-O-E-D. And I love this. And here's the meaning of that. Congregation. 150 times.
Wow.
You know, he's going to reveal himself in a congregation, in a many-member body,
yes.
in the body of Christ, you know. And feast 23 times. I'm telling you what, he's going to reveal himself in the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know what the Feast of Tabernacles was? They went out and they built huts. And they were alone with God. Just them and God in that hut. And you know, that's where, you know, Jim's been talking a lot about getting quiet still and spending time with God, you know, lately. And you know, that's really a lot of where it's at. When he tabernacles you, you know, where you begin to experience the Feast of Tabernacles, that's where literally that, you know, you and him alone, but yet it's not just you, it's a many-member body experiencing the same thing, you know.
So that's not the yearly thing where they come in and they say, here's the Holy of Holies and whatnot. That's not the same thing.
Well, the Feast of Tabernacles was a little bit different, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I brought my phone with me. I didn't bring it with me today, or I don't believe I did. But I could show you, there's an excellent scripture that is in Smith's Bible Dictionary. And it gives you a definition of the Feast of Tabernacles. And man, it is just tremendous. It tells you, it explains the court, and explains the lamps, and it explains where the priest would climb up to the top and pour water and wine in this cauldron thing, and it would run down and it would combine, and people down below could dip out of that and drink of the water and the wine of God. And Jesus said, what, out of your innermost beings will flow rivers. I mean, and boy, it just lays it out so good. It tells you exactly what happened. And, you know, it's in Smith's Bible Dictionary. And there's a section
yeah,
in there.
When Mark was doing this tabernacle thing, I was thinking this was the same thing, but apparently it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is something that the Jews did every so often.
Gotcha.
And okay. When they did the Feast of Tabernacles, see, they went, and it was one of the greatest feasts. They know that all of the other feasts have been fulfilled scripturally. You know, the Feast of Passover, we know that Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Feast of Pentecost, where Pentecost was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what that was a type of.
Okay.
The Feast of Tabernacles is where God is going to totally tabernacle his people, and the revelation of it is going to be you and God, but you and God in a many-membered body, in a
with our
large,
we're just
large
about.
Group, that congregation, yeah, it's going to become a... Are we losing you over here, Etta? Or,
no.
Does it make sense?
I'm listening.
Okay. But anyway, that congregation... That set time is translated as congregation 150 times. And feast 23 times. Season 13 times. Appointed 12 times. Assembly time 12 times. Assembly 4 times. Solemnity 4 times. Solemn 2 times. Days 1 time. Sign 1 time, and synagogue 1 time.
Assembly.
Please?
You said
solemnity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 12 times. You said it.
Oh, assembly is 12 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
When he talks about the set time is now, down in verse 18, it says, this shall be written for generations to come.
Yeah.
And people which shall be created.
See, there's gonna be, there's so much more down there, and I was trying not to get into that, so I gave it to Rich, you know, let Rich deal with it. But it, but boy, if we went on down through there, guys, it's just, you know, he had no reason to feel negative about this scripture, because it's rich. Yeah. I mean, you know. But sometimes when you get into scriptures, until God starts really dealing with you, sometimes you pull back and you go, whoa, what am I going to say about this?
When he pulls back the veil.
But when he pulled back the veil, that's right. It's super duper rich.
What's going to happen when he pulls back the curtain?
Well,
or the veil?
Yeah, see, in Romans 8 chapter says, I reckon the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that word revealed there means to take the lid off. And when he takes the lid off, the glory of God is going to be seen in you, just like it was seen in Jesus when he went up into the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before the disciples. And they looked at him, and man, he said his whole countenance, he just glowed. I mean, you know, the light of God just broke forth. And I tell you what, they really didn't even know how to react to that, you know. But what actually happened was they saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with Moses and Elijah.
Yeah.
And God gave them eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see that, you know. And Peter right away says, well, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, you know. Well, you know. That isn't what the Lord wanted to happen. And he let the glory of Jesus break forth to the outside. And the law and the prophets, and that's what that was a type of, the law and prophets were up till Jesus Christ. But he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the fulfillment of all that. And you're the fulfillment of that because you're the body of Christ. See, as he is in this world, so are we. And as we come to the full revelation of who and what we are in Christ, you know, when we see him as he is, Scripture says, we'll be just like him. See?
But you know, when it talks about the veil, the veil has already been rent.
Yeah.
You know, Paul says, come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need, because the Holy of Holies is open to you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the revelation of it being totally revealed in a people hasn't really broke forth yet to
maturity.
The fullness.
Maturity.
The total
Thank
maturity
you.
Of it,
We need it now, right?
Yeah.
We want it now.
Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing it, and we're understanding it, and we're believing for it and believing into it. But it's one of those situations that there's still an appointed time. There's a time when, you know, I'm trying to think where that scripture is. It's in Malachi where it says, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And it's going to be sudden when it happens. When the real total breaking forth comes, it's going to be a sudden thing, I believe. And you know, but it's one of those things where you have to come to the understanding of it first, and then God can bring it to the forefront, you know. But anyway... And the last word that we didn't discuss is come. You know, and let's read that whole scripture again. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time of to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. And the word for is come here is, it's to come. It's 1,435 times in scripture. And bring it, to bring is 487. Enter is to enter is 125. To bring in is 233. To enter is 125. To go is 123. To carry is 17. Down is 23. To pass is 13. Out is 12. And you know, we sing a song, and I love that song, and we haven't been singing it for a long time, where we sing, arise, you know, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And the real enemies that we have are not necessarily enemies out there. They're enemies right up here in our own thinking, in our own attitudes, and where we don't acknowledge him in all of our ways all the time. And I'm not, you know, when I tell you guys this stuff, I'm not saying, boy, I'm there yet, because I'm not, you know, but I desire to be there. And you know, it's going to take a moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord of hosts is going to perform this. And, you know, I love that he calls it the Lord of hosts. You know, when he's the Lord of hosts, you know, host is many people. Mm-hmm. And we're part of that many people, you know. And I just had a couple of scriptures written down here, and I'll read them to you. It was Psalm 85, 9 through 11. It says, surely this salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I like that. I love that scripture. So that talks about a love story almost. Mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. And then Psalm 52, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined.
Wow.
And you know, in Isaiah 60, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And it talks about kings coming to the brightness of our rising. But it's shining out of Zion. It's shining out of, you know, that many-membered people. And then, you know, I had Isaiah 61, 1 through 11 here. And I love this whole portion of scripture here. And I'll try to read it real fast. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenheart and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound.
Yes.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And the Lord dealt with me one time the way he's going to get vengeance. He asked me how I'm going to get vengeance. And I said, okay, Lord, how are you going to get vengeance? And he said, by comforting all that mourn. My ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways. You know, you think of vengeance as being a horrible thing. But he's going to say, it isn't what you think. They asked Jesus one time, said, shall we call down fire from heaven? You know, like they did in the Old Testament, prophet Elijah did. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Yeah.
Spirit of love, not about killing people, but about loving them. And the fire he wants to call down is the fire that's going to burn the wood, hay, and stubble up in your life. And he says here, to proclaim the liberty of the captive, the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We sing that song, thank God I'm a tree. Planting of the Lord. And the reason he's going to do that is so that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And when he's talking about that, I believe it's going to be the cities of people, the desolations that are in people's lives, the waste places that are in people's lives and all that. He's not talking about necessarily buildings and stuff like that.
He's talking about cleaning us out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're gonna help do that, see, because we're those trees of righteousness. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, for their confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be upon them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery. For burnt offerings I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which God hath blessed. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Well, I love that scripture.
Yes.
That is such a wonderful, powerful scripture. And buddy, we're going to be a part of that. We're going to be a big part of that. Because the glory that's going to be revealed in us is going to cause us, you know, to do these things. And you know, when Jesus, when he, I need to quit here a minute because I'm about to run over.
This
here.
Is good.
But when he came forth, he read part of that scripture in Isaiah and he stopped. And he told them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he read down to, I'll tell you where he read down to. He read down to, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captive and opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book.
And the day of vengeance.
Is that where they
and the day
kicked
of
him out or something?
Huh? They wanted to stone him.
Yeah.
They wanted to take him out and stone him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he slipped through the crowd and just went away.
Oh, that's when you're saying he stopped speaking?
Well, he stopped speaking because that part of that scripture, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That part of it. Mm-hmm. And then the vengeance of our God, guess what? Guess who's going to judge people?
I obey him.
The Pharisees.
The saints. The saints will judge the world. What? See? We're going to be the ones who judge people.
See?
But we're going to judge them with love, mercy, and compassion. Because we've been given love, mercy, and compassion. Until we get to a place where we're able to do that, we won't really be able to judge.
Right, it's constantly in our heads saying that we're not good enough.
And then if you read the rest of that on down through, then that's all about us. See, that first part was about him.
Is it really going to be us judging them?
Well, it will be him in us.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying it will be
him.
It will be us. Yeah, that the fulfillment of that is that the vengeance of our God is to comfort all that mourn.
Right.
See, and the natural vengeance is to, man, let's get them back.
I know.
Yeah.
Man, they hurt me. I'm going to hurt them back. Well, that isn't the way the Lord works.
Wasn't that from the carnal perspective?
Yeah.
It is.
But yeah, from his perspective. Not in his perspective because... Yeah. He said, if somebody smites you on one cheek, do what?
Right.
Give the other.
Well,
that's not easy to do. Unless
no.
God's working in you, you can't do that in your own. But I tell you what, we're going to come to the fullness of this thing where we show the love, mercy, and forgiveness of God. And we need to close because we're about to run over here. Sorry, but I had to go through that last part fast. I wish we could have took one more time with that. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Father.
You can close words, Jen, if you will.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, we praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Father, the words, that song that we talked about here a moment ago says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered.
Yes.
So you tell us to let you arise.
Yes.
Right. I think that's what we're doing, Father, as we gather together here. We seek your face. We're asking questions. We're seeking, knocking. And I think that's a form of letting. You know, Paul said, let this mind be in you. Jesus said, you pick up your cross and you deny yourself. He said, if you pick up your cross and deny yourself. So there was an if there, Father. And I think that if we participate in our salvation, then it says that the path of the just grows brighter and brighter unto that perfect day.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're seeing, Lord, in this class. Even as I go back years ago and I think about the things that were being discussed 30 years ago, things that are being discussed today are such a brighter glory than what we were discussing 30 years ago.
That's right.
And Father, I feel like you're expediting, you know, you're expediting that day in your people as your people continue to seek your face. We can expedite that day, Lord, individually, within ourselves we can, and then corporately we can. So Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that continues to draw us unto you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to take advantage of all that grace that you're pouring out, because in that grace is the faith to go higher and to go deeper and to see things from your perspective.
Amen.
And that's what you're raising up in this hour, is a people that has eagle vision.
Yes.
They can see from high places just like the eagle could, Father.
Right.
In Jesus' name we pray. We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise.